Good Shepherd Sermon for the second Wednesday in Lent, 2020, Pastor John Melke.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The words of our meditation for this sermon on the words of holy baptism are recorded for us in Luke chapter 3, reading selected verses. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, while Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod was tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip was tetrarch of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias was tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah in the wilderness. He went into the whole region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Just as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley will be filled and every mountain and hill will be made low. The crooked will become straight and the rough place ways smooth, and everyone will see the salvation of God. So John kept saying to the crowds who came out to be baptized by him, you offspring of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Therefore, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Do not even think of saying to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father, because I tell you that God is able to raise up children for Abraham from these stones. Even now, the axe is ready to strike the root of the trees. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is going to be cut down and thrown into the fire. The crowds began to ask him, what shall we do then? He answered them, whoever has two shirts should share with the person who has none, and whoever has food should do the same. Tax collectors also came to be baptized. They said, teacher, what should we do? To them he said, collect no more than what you were authorized to. Soldiers were also asking him, and what should we do? He told them, do not extort money from anyone by force or false accusation. Be satisfied with your wages. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might be the Christ. John answered them all, I baptize you with water, but someone mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing shovel is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then with many other words, he appealed to them and was preaching good news to the people. This is the word of our God. We began our six-week sermon series last Ash Wednesday with the use of the keys, one of the six chief parts of Luther's small catechism. As Pastor Tolberg reminded us what it means to forgive and not to forgive sins, the power, the right we have to use the binding and the loosing keys. Tonight we are gathered around the time of the Jordan River, where John the Baptist is preaching a message of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The people are listening to him, they're asking him questions, and they are being baptized by John. And John says to them, I baptize you with water, but someone mightier than I is coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John the Baptist is preaching, teaching, and also baptizing. And he reminds us today through this entire chapter 3 and even a section that ends chapter 3 that we need baptism. We need baptism because of its promises and what it gives, and when we realize where the power comes from. We need baptism. We find John the Baptist preaching and baptizing here. And the Greek word that is used for baptize is simply the word wash. And oftentimes throughout the New Testament especially, you'll see words that talk about the need to remove sin. It might be the word dirt or blemish or stain, all defining what sin truly is. And John is preaching a baptism of repentance to understand that in their baptism, their sins are being washed away. The stain is being removed. And as they're being baptized in that Jordan River, you can see that they are having their sins washed clean. And the sins, their dirty, stained sins, are making that water of the Jordan River dirty and filthy and disgusting. And then comes Jesus. John says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who had no blemish or stain or any kind of disease or sin at all, and yet he came to be baptized in the Jordan River. And John said, I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me? And Jesus says, yes, let it be so. I came to fulfill all righteousness. And there goes Jesus down into the Jordan to be baptized. In fact, it's recorded for us in chapter 3. I didn't read it earlier. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. While he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, you are my son whom I love. I am well pleased with you. Here is the Lamb of God, the perfect Son of God, in human form, going into this dirty, filthy water, so filthy because of the sins of the people that have been baptized, that he's taken on that dirty water himself. You can picture that scene as Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, has taken on himself the guilt of the sins of the world. And it says that God is well pleased with him. Listen to him. Why is the Father pleased? Because in this baptism, that was just the start of Jesus' ministry. And he was going to spend the next 3 years living in a world which was filled with sin and rebellion against God, and yet he never sinned a single time. He obeyed the will of God perfectly. And the Lamb of God became that sacrifice as he went to the cross to suffer and to die for the blemish and the stains of every one of our sins and the sins of the entire world. And when he was buried in that tomb, the sins were buried there with him as well. And when he rose victorious from the grave, those sins remained buried in that tomb, but he came out alive. So we can have the forgiveness of our sins and the guarantee of a new life with Christ. When we see the need for baptism, we see it's because of Jesus who took on our sins and gives us through this gift of baptism the powerful message of the forgiveness of sin. And when he's about to ascend into heaven, he gave this command. Go and gather disciples from all nations by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and by teaching them to keep all the instructions I have given you, and surely I am with you always until the end of the age. And Mark adds in his gospel, as you heard it, as we read it in the back of the worship folder, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Jesus commands his church to baptize. Why? To remove that blemish. To make us right with God. To have the forgiveness of our sins, life, and salvation. We need that baptism because of the promises that it gives to us. And we also see where the power comes from to make that baptism a valid one. You had one story that Adam read of the powerful gift of baptism as it came on the jailer at Philippi and his whole household were baptized. The Christian church was constantly following Christ's command to baptize. Peter said on that day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God will call. And time again, we see in those New Testament stories, the accounts of the book of Acts and beyond, where people, whether an individual or a couple or a family, a whole household, gathered around God's word, heard the message of God's law and condemning their sin, the promise of the gospel that forgives them their sin, and they were all baptized, following the command of our God. And they continue to be nourished in God's word as they continue to renew their baptism day after day after day. We need baptism because of where the power comes from. We have, obviously, as you well know, a baptismal font in the back of church, which reminds you as you walk in of your baptism. Now, we do not conduct baptisms, whether privately or publicly, in order to give you a get-out-of-hell-free card, and that's it. We don't offer a baptism to young and old, male or female, simply because that means that's all you need to do, and then you can get rid of this Jesus thing. There's more than that, much more than that. The power of baptism, as we read in the back of the worship folder, is found in the Word of God. Luther says, "It is certainly not the water that does such things, but God's word which is in and with the water, and faith which trusts this word used with the water. For without God's word, the water is just plain water and not baptism. But with this word, it is baptism. That is a gracious water of life and a washing of rebirth by the Holy Spirit." And where did Luther correctly get those words that he put down on paper? Not inspired, but where did he get his inspiration from? The inspired words of God, the Holy Spirit, by the Apostle Paul in Titus chapter 3, which we also read. He saved us, God saved us, not by righteous works that we did ourselves, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs in keeping with the hope of eternal life. Baptism gets its power from the Word of God. And it may seem obvious to you, but it's not for many. Baptism gets its power from the Word of God. And in that Word of God, you hear, yes, God's condemning law to rebuke you of your sin, and God's wonderful gospel news that says you are forgiven because of Jesus' wonderful, perfect life, his innocent suffering and death, and his glorious resurrection from the grave, so that our sins remain buried and we are able to live a new life in him. We need baptism because of the power that we find through the Word of God. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him by this baptism into his death, so that just as he was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too would also walk in a new life. For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be united with him in the likeness of his resurrection." So for the Christian, baptized into the Christian faith, it's not just a one-time event. It's a lifelong event. It's an everyday event. That's the good news. Let me maybe illustrate it with you this way. If someone was to ask me, "Am I married?" I would say, "Yes, I am married." I would not say I was married, because that would give the impression I'm not married anymore. But no, I am married. November 2nd, 1991. I made it wrong this morning. I said November 1st, didn't I? November 2nd, 1991, I am married and still married today until death parts us. So you also, in your baptism, can say the same thing. I am baptized. Not I was baptized, I am baptized. In fact, Luther said this: "So when our sins and conscience oppress us, we strengthen ourselves and take comfort and say, nevertheless, I am baptized. And if I am baptized, it is promised to me that I shall be saved and have eternal life, both in soul and body." But just because someone is baptized does not mean that everyone is saved. Remember what Mark said, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." let's just assume you received a coat as a gift, a winter coat. And you were able to say, thank you for that wonderful, precious coat. It's designed to keep me warm. But you just walk over to your closet and put it there and don't wear the jacket or the coat. Now, there's nothing wrong with that coat. It still gives you the benefit of the warmth that you would enjoy if you wore it. But if you reject the use of that coat, you would go outside and get a cold or worse. So it is with baptism. The blessings of baptism for the forgiveness of sins are yours. The benefit does not go away unless you stop making use of it. So the powerful message of the baptism is that you have the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. Use it every day. Remember your baptism every day of your life, and you keep connected to that baptism when you are in the Word of God, as you gather for public worship or private worship, as you take the Lord's Supper regularly, to be strengthened in your Christian faith that you received at your baptism. Imagine for a moment that someone came into this building for the very first time, sat in this pew, and heard the first time about the story of baptism. What would he say? Perhaps as he's walking out the door and greeting the pastor, he might say, wow, I'd like to be baptized too. That happened this morning. He was sitting right here. And he says, I never knew why I was coming to this church today, but I came to this church and you talked about baptism. And he had talked to Pastor Tolbert prior to the service. We talked a little bit before the service as well, introduced myself to him. He participated in the service. He talked to me afterwards about wanting to be baptized. We talked a little bit more. Pastor Tolbert gathered the water together, and there next to Conrad in the back, I observed and witnessed the baptism of a young man. He signed our guest book too, so you can check his name out if you like. That's the power of the word in baptism. Remember your baptism. Remember that baptism that you have been given, maybe as a young child, maybe as a toddler, maybe as a teenager, maybe as an adult. But when you remember your baptism, you remember that you have received the forgiveness of your sins. You are right with God. You are in a perfect relationship with God, but don't neglect God's word. Remain connected to that scripture, because God says the day is coming when he will bring us to himself in heaven. We want to be prepared, and we are prepared, when we remember the need for our baptism and regenerate ourselves in his life-giving word and spirit. May that be for us today and always. Amen.